We're going to be in Isaiah 53 today, so I want you to be aware of that. Also, I want you to know that we're going to just a couple announcements because this is a busy month. It's a short month, but we've got an extra day in this month, don't we? So guess what? Then it's a day longer. Comes in February 29th, in the middle of it. Which means whenever you're giving up for Lent, you've got an extra day to do it. Right? Can you give up anything? Are you thinking about preparing for Easter? Okay, we're going to work really hard. We're going to have a tenebrae service in Holy Week on Friday night. Maybe Thursday and Friday, I'm not sure at this point. This is a service of darkness, recognizing the power of Good Friday. And you have to recognize that and feel that so that on Sunday morning you can have celebration, you can have Easter, you can have resurrection. So, Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. This Wednesday begins or marks the beginning of Lent. So, you can see, we have lots of stuff going on here. Okay, we have the Cal Night coming, we have the Fix Club that we started, we have a baptism today. Like I said, we're going to baptize you two again. We'll go, but it's okay, we'll survive. Okay, back to the ministry. We have the movie Holy Spirit Reborn. Did you guys see the movie Holy Spirit, the first one we had a few months ago? This is the sequel. This one's better than Holy Spirit. Okay? And there's one after that I gave you last night, and it's incredible. It'll drag your heart. And it's also done by some major believers. Which you see in there also. So we want you to come to the movie, set it aside, it's going to be Sunday after next. We are postponing the prophecy conference, which was tonight, because of the Super Bowl. How many are watching the Super Bowl? How many are watching the Super Bowl with a commercial? What I thought. Okay, well, that's kind of good, too. So there's always a reason for family to get together. Just don't get too actively involved. Somebody posted on Facebook that we should have church like the Super Bowl, but you get all excited. And then when I do something really good before Gatorade, I don't know why you're clapping your hands. That's not a good idea at all. Okay. That's tonight, so enjoy your time together. Be sure to check out the War Room. And Marcy Page is still, she needs another week of meals to play with Amy and Bobby. So if you can help out with another week of evening there, we'll sure to be there. But that's just my favorite. There's Jane. Today we have kitty football. We have a kitty bowl and a puppy bowl this afternoon. If you want to learn more about that, make sure you see her. You can have it the kitty bowl and the puppy bowl. It's a big day for bowls. Okay, having said all that, I want to show you a video real quick of the movie. So we'll show you a trailer so that you can begin to see what it's all about.
I remember one night we got from the street church, and this little boy came up to me and he said, "Uncle, I killed someone today." And I said, "What?" And he said it just like one of my own sons. He said, "Dad, look what I did today at school, you know? Uncle, I killed someone today." So proud of himself. And I said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "Because he was lying about me, and I can't let him do that. I need to show that I'm not going to let somebody lie about me." So I stabbed him in the throat.
The gospel for all of us started when God called our name. We heard him convict us of sin. We heard the voice of God, and we responded, and we came to life.
Real people involved in what the Holy Spirit's doing on the planet. And this movie and the next movie will be showing you, both show you real people around the world who are conquering for Jesus Christ with one major power of the Holy Spirit. One major power of the Holy Spirit. You know what that power is? The power of love. If you can take love to someone, you'll begin to see miracles happen. Not until you can begin to show Christ's love that you'll see that love. So I encourage you to come because these are real people in real situations. This is not a movie made up or anything like that. It is a real movie in real situations. Now, I also want you to know that we are going to be developing a leadership. We've been filling out those forms. You have another one in your billfold right now. I encourage you to fill it out if you haven't, to submit it. All of the areas, even though we have a lot of them that are already full, and I haven't talked to anybody, I'm still waiting to get the whole pool of names, and then we'll put those together, and we'll make contacts, and we'll have ministry kicking off in a unique way. Well, I'm excited about what we have. The biggest one we need is a mission. But I also want you to go ahead and go to the next slide, I think it is. One more slide. We need to remember that also. We'll go to the next slide, I'm sorry. I'll go two more slides. there we go. That's it. Very good. Other ministries need it. This is not my life or my work, so don't blame the objections people, okay? If you want to sign up for readers, not on your sheet. If you want to be a Bible teacher, that's not on your sheet. If you want to be a part of the Welcome Center, we need a host or a hostess, a man that as people come through the doors. Put that on your sheet. If you want to help out in my cafe, if you want to help out in the bookstore, if you want to do a prayer walk, be a prayer walk coordinator, which we don't have right now, it's a brand new ministry. If you'd like to deal with the deaf ministry and work with Jeanette or with the deaf people in some way, put that out. So these are the ones that aren't on the sheet, but I'd like to see. And if you see a ministry that's not on the sheet, if you feel that you could plug into, write it in and put it on the sheet also. Okay, I want to use all the talents of this body for the kingdom of God. I want you not to be I can't say potato, but don't go have huge. It's about to say cherry potatoes, don't go on council either. Lord, I don't want you to just come and go. I want you to be actively involved. Okay, I want you to be excited about the spot that you're involved in. Using your gifts and your talents, if it's with children, if it's with youth, if it's with young adults, if it's with regular adults, or if it's with the aged, the homebound, whatever. Find that area where you can plug in, and you can tell me that I only have 2 hours a week, or 1 hour a week, or 20 hours a week, or 40 hours a week, and plug in, and we'll use you for God's glory. Right? Judy came to me when she first got into ministry. She said, well, I can't do a lot. But I can write letters, and I can do cards, and I can send emails. And she's been so faithful. So she found what she could do and enjoys doing. You, listen to me, need to do the same thing. Don't overload yourself. But find the place where you can plug in and do it. Now, I want to announce you that MC shared with me this morning that next Sunday will be his last Sunday with us. And so we're going to have to break a bottle of wine over his head and launch him out to the world next week. It'll be great news for real. About that for me. Stuff in here. Okay. And this, we're going to have a special prayer for them as they leave next week. And he's been a wonderful guy to fill in for me when I'm gone, to teach a Sunday school class. That was wonderful with the kids. On occasion, he's going to be with the Community Wesleyan Church and is going to just join into some of their ministry as they're going to help provide them with his education so that that's going to be paid for with Community Wesleyan. So that's really a good asset for him. And it's giving them some hope and some future and some options. He's got lots of work he does on restoration and go through. In the meantime, when he's going to teach his high school next week, finishes with the prodigal son. The week after, Ron Goodman's going to step up and he's going to take over the class as an interim teacher. Okay, so Ron's, I talked to him this morning, and he's a wonderful teacher, okay, and so it'll be different, it won't be Anthony, okay, it'll be Ron, okay, okay? But Danielle is here, good one, to stand together with us as we move forward. Still looking for someone to work with the kids during that period of time, so if you'd like to take in that position, let me know, okay? Let me see, is that everything? Camp is still coming. $10 a month. We are not going to show you two kids this week, but wait until next week to show you the next two kids. I think that's about everything. It should be enough, I guess. My kids, it's time for New Jersey Nursery. Pardon? Oh, we did round. I knew I was doing right by it. I didn't see it. Let's go. There we go. Okay. That's a little rookie. Guess what? It's been a year. Time just flies so fast. It's been a year since that little bright-eyed little girl stepped up and went to dance and play in heaven, which she's doing right now. Okay, she's okay, guys. She's okay. It's us that has that interest in it. So does our very own Samantha and all of us, our kids. So we want to have a playground in honor of her, dedicated this morning. It's already started. We got it marked off. We got the first layer of mulch. We got another layer this spring. It's got the first place set up, which has been donated to us from another church in Columbus, which is upgrading to a nicer one. This one still needs some work on it and some paint, but for the most part, it's ready to be played on. A little muddy up there, but we have more mulch, okay? So we're starting it, and we've got plans. We're going to fence it in. There's going to be a swing set. There's going to be all kinds of fun stuff, okay? So that's coming, but we want to go ahead and dedicate it to with you this morning. That'll be Ruthie's kangaroo playground, okay? She was in the kangaroos. And her favorite song is River's Hero. We're going to try to get it. We're going to try to do it, but we can't do that this summer. Maybe we can do that next session, okay? So, anything you want to say, Samantha? Perfect. You want to say anything? I didn't think so. You're such a quiet guy. Yes, and so Samantha and Virgil has got cupcakes for everybody. Okay? And so you can pick your cupcake up as you leave. It's pink and purple. Can't imagine why. Just those purple shirts that these guys have on, which is for a little princess Ruby. Okay? So we want to just get the playgrounds. I'm going to ask this thing. Okay? All I want you to do is you're going to turn towards that corner over there. That's the direction of the playground. I want you to lift up your right hand and put it towards that section. There's a little girl that's not here this morning. Who danced and played, and she was so awesome. Here with all of us. And Norby knows she's doing the same. We've watched her slowly as life leaked out of her body. And then when she took her home, Lord, we recognize that she was going to glory. So follow her into this playground to your glory, to your honor. We're dedicating it to you, Father, that you can draw children into this ministry. They can come to know you so they can die with the same faith that Ruthie had. As she knew where she was going, by the end she was going. So, Lord, take that crown, take all the ground of this property, Lord, but especially that spot there to draw children into the kingdom forever. We dedicate it to you. We dedicate it to you because of Ruthie. Okay, now kids, we're going to head back to Jesus. Oh, North Star. Is that North Star? Okay, everybody, I want you to go to North Star. I'm going to do that metal method. I'm going to make a little math on the table. North Star is going to remain open following worship services then from now on, okay? So if there's something that you want to grab, and every time you're not here, like I'm doing it this morning, I'm just doing it now. five languages of love. Okay, this is have you read it? This is the commemorative edition. It's nice in leather. It looks like a nice little worship book. Okay, this is wonderful for you if you're dating, if you are married, if you want to be married, if you want to have a relationship. It's learning the five languages of love for relationships. Okay, and so I want to commend it to you. It's a wonderful book. It's written in such a way that you can use it as a devotional book. And we got a really good deal on this, and we can pass a really good deal on you. Normally, you can pay about 30 bucks on this with this letter. I think you're making it for 8 bucks. Is that what we're doing?
750 plus tax.
750 plus tax. Okay. Now, I bought a bunch of them. Okay. So I expect from you guys to buy them because I have that stuff to give with me and pass it out. So, 5 languages of love God edition. Get it. Guess what next Sunday is, guys? I didn't hear that. What does that mean? It means you got to do something for your sweetie. 5 languages of love, a dozen roses, and do it. And then you got to read them. Okay? It's a gift that keeps on giving. Okay. Last week I started a 2-part message. I knew last week that I would be doing that. And that is where Jesus is revealing his plans. Jesus and the prophets. We've kind of been going through the Old Testament where Jesus is talking, and I've made it abundantly clear, okay? Abundantly clear, it is Jesus who is the Lord of Lords. And you see, if the Lord said, the Lord said, who's talking? Because there's no other Lord that can do that. He is the Lord of Lords. So when you see the Old Testament, the Lord said to Moses, or the Lord said to Joshua, or the Lord said to Daniel, or the Lord said to Ezekiel or Isaiah, he was talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one talking. He's the fourth one in the fiery furnace. He's the one that held the mouth of the lions shut. He's the one that we know has Messiah. So he said, I'm going to do this, 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 and then he came and did it. Okay? So Jesus, and the verse we're kicking off here is right there on the bottom of your screen. I believe it's on the front of your bulletin also. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And that's a pretty cool statement, don't you think? He explained to them, Jesus explained to them, the disciples, followers, the things concerning who? Himself in the scripture. Well, the New Testament wasn't written yet. So what scriptures is he talking about? The Old Covenant. Okay? He's fulfilling the Old Covenant. He, Jesus, explained to them the things concerning himself in the Old Testament. So I think he can get it down. I think he can get it right. Okay? I mean, it's not going to mean he's going to give you an opinion what he thinks is right and wrong about the Old Testament. And that was the one thing that impressed everybody, was that this man spoke with such authority. Okay? Which he wasn't like, okay, let's see, there's 3 ways to interpret verse 16 of Deuteronomy 12. No, he said, this is what it is, and this is what it means. And he didn't give us an opinion. He said, this is what it is. This is what I meant in the Old Testament. Jesus is speaking all the way through the Old Testament. So the whole book is about Jesus. The whole book. That's why we use the book of Revelation and you see him coming on a white horse in clouds of glory, conquering the sword in his hand. The same one that Daniel saw. The same one that Ezekiel described in detail. So don't read the Old Testament as the old one. One job or tittle is not going to be fulfilled in the Old Testament. So, it says in Isaiah 53, and that's going to be the first 2 verses, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. That's an interesting statement. He shall grow up before him with both aces capitalized, if you're using the American standard. And they will capitalize deity in the New American Standard. That's why I use the New American Standard Bible for preaching. Okay? He shall grow up before him. He who is going to grow up before who? Jesus is going to grow up before him
found. Now, how's Isaiah putting this together? How do you say he, who is not here yet, is going to be here and he's going to go up before him who is not here yet? Isaiah doesn't have any problem telling you the truth. And he is leaving glory to be among us. And that's what Isaiah 53 and 54 is all about. It's also what chapters 5, 6, and 7, and when he all of a sudden is going to come to birth. Jesus does not foretell the prophets of his birth, but also of the manner of his death and the purpose for what that death means. And we read in Jeremiah 29:11 that his plans for us are that you may prosper. Prosper does not mean that you're going to be rich. Okay? Prosper means that you're going to succeed in your faith. Okay? You're going to prosper. In other words, if you seek after righteousness, you're going to be satisfied. That's kind of cool. If you seek after overcoming power, you're going to have overcoming power. It's all going to come right down to your ability to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbors yourself. That's what's going to come down to. Loving beyond love. Above human love. Ungodly love. So that's where I want us to kind of hang on here as we go to it. Now, it says, goes on and Isaiah says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is slaughtered before its shears, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for that transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with the wicked man, yet he was a rich man at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. That is one incredible prophecy concerning himself. He's explaining the final days of his life. He had no money. He died among thieves, was assigned to the wicked. And he was a rich man at his death. Why? Because Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, gave him a rich man's grave. He says, you can use stupid that man in my turn. Because he did no violence, or was there any deceit in his mouth? In other words, he came, and the lowly manger, he left in a rich man's grave. Today, as we stay in Isaiah 53, and that's where I want us to stay, but we're going to get into Isaiah 54 here in the season some. I want to view the servant of the Lord in Isaiah 53, because he's a servant in 53 before he becomes right down to the death moment. Now, the servant song, as it's sometimes just called, "Behold, my servant will prosper." Okay? And we said that the servant here is the song that can't be the people of Israel, and it can't be the prophet Isaiah, because he is serving both the people and the prophet. Whoever this man is in this song is serving people and Isaiah, and he's above and beyond them. So he's talking about himself. Verse 4, surely he bore our sorrows and carried, bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. The servant is carrying the griefs and the sorrows of the people and of Isaiah. Jesus is going to carry our grief and our sorrow. I tell my newcomers class, I'll always have everybody's been a member of this church. Chose a stick and that stuff. They really pray this in a prayer today. I often read it. Okay? That's just what you disagree with. And I say, even if you've already prayed this prayer, I give you now the opportunity to pray together. We're going to pray together. So everyone who stepped through the door of membership had prayed for sinner's prayer. And that's not why I wanted to do that. And that is because, like Ruthie, sometimes you die prematurely.
And then I'm going to be sitting in front of all of your family and friends as your pastor and share the closing celebration of that life. And the most comforting thing that I can say to the family, the most absolute comforting thing I can say is, I know who they are. I know they prayed the sinner's prayer. I was there when they prayed once. And they prayed for them once. And I encourage you to pray all the time. I don't think you can pray too much. And I don't think you can not pray the sinner's prayer too much. When you got married and you did something wrong, did you ever tell your wife you're sorry or your husband you're sorry? Yeah, I'd be in trouble. Because your marriage isn't going to last very long. That song back in the 60s, Love Story, Love Means You Never Have to Say You're Sorry, is the stupidest song ever. Okay? Because if you don't have to say you're sorry, then you're in trouble. Okay, you need to say you're sorry on a regular basis. Okay, because you need to keep your relationship fresh. And guess what? You're not the perfect husband. And you're not the perfect wife. Are you? Admit it. So therefore, love is going to conquer all things. And love begins with saying, I'm sorry. And when you do the same thing, when you sin, you don't only sin against each other, you sin against the Lord. And it hurts Him. So say, I'm sorry, God. I messed up again. Forgive me. Come afresh. Make me whole. Once again, keep your relationship up to date with Jesus. You better be doing that right now, because He's coming back real soon. And you need to be ready. Okay? Now, he didn't come back for 1,000 years. He's still coming back pretty soon. But he could be going back tomorrow. He could come back any second. About 10 more minutes, probably. So you got 10 more minutes to recover. Okay, so repent. We have a servant king who's carrying our griefs and our sorrows. And that means that's why I'm trying to get you guys involved in the ministry. That's why I want you to step up to the bat. Do the things. So now let's go to Jesus tells Isaiah 5 things about His plan. Number one, we are rebels. He knows that we are rebel subjects against our shepherd king. He knows that we are fighting against God. How does He know that? Because He knows you're human. Because He knows you're human. He knows that you need forgiveness. That's why while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we cleaned up our act. He knows you're human. Secondly, He knows that we will reject Him. First century, don't go blaming the Jewish people. We've all done it. I went to the guy who had my eye this week. I had it on my neck all the way to the top lane, and the neck of my phone was good, so thank you for your prayers. So I don't have to have neck surgery. That's a wonderful blessing. But as he was going through my report, and I asked him a question, and he saw it getting ahead of him, and he said, oh, Jesus, I haven't even got that as part yet. Why do you invoke the name of Jesus? Why would you do that? Because you're a devil who's going to protect your mouth. Okay, when you blaspheme the name of God, you use His name as a derogatory comment. You're dishonoring the Lord of God. Don't do it. Get that stuff out of your mouth. I know you've heard it all your life. You probably work beside it all the time. It comes natural to you. Why does it come natural to you? I don't know why anybody can say, oh, Lucifer. Or, oh, Satan. They don't do that. They don't cut down the adversary. They cut down the King of Kings. From your mama. Okay? Get that out of your system. And if it does come out of your mouth, don't wait to repent. You remember out of the spot. You say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. It just popped out of me. And why did it pop out of me? Because you're human. You're a rebel. And we know that He's going to be rejected. And sometimes we reject Him when we get mad.
Sometimes we yell at God. Why do we do that? He knows that God is sending his servant, Isaiah knows, who will be rejected by the prophets. Isaiah also knows that his mission is going to be fulfilled as he becomes a ransom for us. Okay. We've got all the answers up there. I'm going to go page by page. You can spend more time writing down, right? He knows that being rejected, that he was not failing his mission, but was becoming a ransom or a substitute for the rebel subjects, Isaiah 53, verse 5. I read there at the top, says 50, the rebel says 53, 6, good notes say 54, 6, correct that, it should be 53, 6, okay? He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, he was bruised, he was beaten, he fulfilled his mission. You know, that's the saddest thing about the Muslim faith. And one of the saddest things about the Muslim faith, they will tell you that they believe in Jesus. But then they will quickly tell you to follow up with this. Jesus was God's messenger, and he failed, so God sent Muhammad. Okay? Whoa. Good thing to see is God has himself. It's written openly everywhere in the mosque. Okay, over the interview at the mosque, all over Europe and the Middle East. God has no son. They don't want anybody believing in Jesus as the Son of God. We have denominations in America that no longer believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We are turning. All we like sheep are turning away. Like sheep. So, he plans to restore our relationship with him. He knows that nations and kings that have not known or understood any of these things will be sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb, and that their sight will be restored. But at this point, he who has ears can't hear, and he who has eyes can't see, because they don't have any understanding. And even when Jesus was on the planet, they were looking for a reigning Messiah. They weren't looking for a suffering servant. And finally, number five. He knows the result will reveal him to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's where you and I stand. We know the result is that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's why they put the little plaque above his head on the cross. Here is the King of the Jews. He's the King of all kings. Isaiah 52, verses 13 and 15. And this is both a revelation and a validation of what's going to take place. It's a revelation because it reveals things about God and his way of salvation that we cannot know is our own, according to John Piper. Hi, John Piper. He's down, doesn't he? All of you listen to his videos. He's a desperate Francis on Chan. That's where he gets a lot of his stuff from, John Piper. So go back to the source. He's really good. He says, it's a revelation of God, reveals things about God and his way of salvation that we cannot know on our own. He says, the validation because he comes 700 years before Christ, who fulfills the servant prophecy so amazingly down to the details of how he suffered and died and was buried. John's bringing it home there. He said, it's a revelation, Isaiah. It's a validation of what's going to take place. And Jesus fulfilled it. Goes on to say in verses 7 through 9, John says that is, and we see that God revealed even more to Isaiah than what we have seen. Number one, the suffering of the servant and his response to suffering in verse 7, the death of the servant and the response to his generation to that death in verse 8, and the finality, the burial of the servant and its strange and hopeful twist. Now here you have the description of a Messiah whose goal is to die. Here you have a description of a coming reigning king whose mission is to die a horrible death. You don't get that out of that world, do you? Not at all. So let's go on to, it's beginning to get lighter right now. It's becoming springtime. Today is the Super Bowl, the Puppy Bowl, the Kid Bowl. This is the day that families get together and they spend a lot of money on food, junk food. They eat and watch the game and say, I don't know which team you're heading for, so I'm not going to choose. I don't have any
in the end, this one's a nice, so whichever wins, it's a good deal, okay? But I do know that one thing I like about the Super Bowl coming is it also shows that spring is coming too. And we get a couple more minutes of daylight every day. We get a couple more minutes of, the only thing I don't like about it is the time change. It's all the time we get used to it, and all of a sudden you have to get losing our sleep. I don't like it. But aside from that, then all of a sudden it won't be too long as we get close to Easter, but see flowers bringing through in our gardens. And love is in the air. Okay? And all of a sudden it's springtime. And all of a sudden you think, oh, I've got to get out and do something with my house, I've got to do something with my garden, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. I want you to know that this is one of the earliest Easters you'll have, because it's going to be in March. In March, it's one of the earliest Ash Wednesdays you're going to have. So it's going to happen before you have the time to get out there and do all that spring stuff. So guess what? This is the season that you have just for Jesus. This is the one where you can begin to anticipate what it's like to have a friend named Jesus as a constant companion. To laugh with you, to talk with you, to condemn you when you do something wrong. Why does he do that? Because he wants you to get better. He doesn't want you to continue on talking about each other, not forgiving each other, laughing at each other, cutting each other down, pointing out each other's faults. That's the devil's job. If you do that, you're playing the devil's advocate. So you've got to put that. If you can't learn to turn your cheek, you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to become empowered inside your life. And that comes when you start loving each other and you start overlooking other people's oopses. Because you've got enough of your own. I can assure you, people around you have got your oopses. They're just not going to tell you about it. And I want to talk about that. You know why? Because Satan's whispering in their ears too. All you have to do is remind yourself, I'm not so good either. I'm not going to participate in that. I'm going to love everybody, even if you want to come on me. My job is to love. So, the suffering servant. Jesus has become a suffering servant to the oppressed. We see four things that happen now, and we hear three times how he responded. First, the oppressed. The word is most often used in the Old Testament of what taskmasters do to make the lives of their slaves miserable. You might remember back in the Old Testament when Moses came forward, he brought a plague on the people, Pharaoh said, okay, the people didn't go. All of a sudden, the Pharaoh changed his mind, and then he oppressed the people by taking away what they needed to do their work. And they had to work on the heart, they were oppressed. When you're oppressed, the weight of your life gets heavier. And then something other good comes out of it, and you wait, and all of a sudden you're carrying the weight of the whole world because you're oppressed. That's what Jesus came to take away. He wants your burden to be light. He wants your load to be easy. He's going to come for the oppressed. They demand that they make bricks without straw was the first thing. It got tough. Second is the afflicted. Second, he was afflicted. The word implies humiliation. Being brought low, treated with contempt, making it shameful or belittling or scorning or jesting or mockery or ridicule or ridicule. Are you ridiculing anybody? Are you belittling anybody? Are you shaming anybody? Did you know that Jesus came to bear the shame so we didn't have to? You put that shame on you. Don't do it. Okay? We have enough shame as it is. We'll load our own shame. We don't need somebody else loading the shame on for us. You point to Jesus and allow him to do the shaming. You don't do it yourself. And that's part of what Jesus took on the cross. He took on the oppressed. He took on the afflicted. He took on the humiliation, the ridicule, the division, the derision. All of the gall Jesus slipped during his whole ministry and forced down his throat in that last awesome week of his life. Third, he slumped like a lamb.
slaughter does not come into verse 8. Here is just, he's led to the slaughter, verse 8. It's a terrifying thing. It's one of the things to be oppressed and afflicted. If you know, you will walk out of the jail in a few hours into springtime breezes and sunshine. It's something altogether different if you know that it is all leading to your slaughter. For him, there will be no more springs this side of the resurrection. He was going to be slaughtered like a lamb. See, they took those lambs and put them on that altar and they slaughtered them with the blood streaming down. And they cried out in their heart. Met him out of it, okay? He was slaughtered, not just slaughtered. He was slaughtered like a lamb. He was beaten to death before the time on that cross. He was stripped bare naked, ridiculed, humiliated. For a crown of thorns, that's the latest fantasy on his head. They pressed it down until it had pierced his skin all around his head. And we are cross. And he was sheared. Finally, he was sheared like a sheep before his shears. He was stripped of his clothes, his friends, his home. He was stripped of his father's divine protection over him. No one has ever been as naked as Jesus or Golgotha on the day of Good Friday. No one has ever been as sheared of everything pleasant and beautiful. The only thing he has left hanging on that cross is his love for you. It's the only thing he's stripped of everything except his love for you. Now, there's three times Jesus tells us that when he was oppressed and afflicted, he did not open his mouth. And he was silent before his shearers. He said that three times. I think the scripture says that three times. He tells us that he's not going to open his mouth, and he's silent before his shearers. I looked up on the internet about a lamb being sheared, and this one guy holding a lamb that was sheared and it cut into his skin. I can't get that image out of my mind. He was sheared. He's silent. How does he respond? We find in verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. Amazingly, Jesus was silent, patient, and accepting. You know why? That's why he came. He was fulfilling his mission. He wasn't ending it in disgrace. Ridicule, he took on your disgrace, your ridicule, your humiliation. He took it on himself. Back at the trial, in one trial in the middle of the night at Caiaphas' home, he was accused by false witnesses. The high priest said, "Do you make no answer? What is this that these men are testifying against you?" And Jesus was silent. Matthew 26, 62 and 63. High priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." And he was silent. Then later, early in the morning, Pilate said to Jesus in the Roman headquarters, "Do you make no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." Mark 2, 4, 15, 4. But Jesus made no further answer, so Pilate was amazed. He didn't defend himself. Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, and Luke tells us that Herod questioned him at some length, but he answered him nothing. Luke 23:9. And he questioned him at some length, and he answered him nothing. Straight from Jesus. Jesus knew his prophecy because he wrote it. In the Old Testament, Jesus foretold what was going to happen through the prophet Isaiah. Exactly, in detail. That's why the book of Isaiah is one of the most holy books in the Old Testament. You have been born again, says in 1 Peter 1:23. Again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living, enduring Word of God. He did not just suffer and respond with patient silence. He also died. And that's what Lent is all about. It's learning to die to ourselves that he might live inside us. That's how we give up things. I told you last week I was going to challenge you to
do Facebook for your Lenten time just to stay away from it. That's really up to you. You decide what's going to give up and what's going to give up. For some of you, it may be Pepsi. I don't care what to give up. What I do care about is what you add to your life. I want you to contemplate the love of Christ. It's time we seriously contemplate the meaning of the cross. This is why 1 Corinthians 15:3 sums up the gospel in these simple words. Christ died for us according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3, he died according to the scriptures. He was cut off from the land of the living for us, for the transgression of his people, according to the scriptures. Isaiah 53:8. 700 years between those two verses. But guess what? He fulfilled it. Jesus the Christ fulfilled it. And the response of this generation that he was cut off is, we eat Easter eggs and dress up. That's our response to resurrection. It's got to be more. We need to contemplate the price that was paid for our salvation. The word considered is not a word for notice or perceive here. Isaiah said, who considered it? Who considered what this man's about to do in the future? It's a word for muse or ponder or meditate. The point seems to be we can see the greatest event in the world happening and still not see it. He says, you can see without seeing, you can hear without hearing. I don't want to be one of those people. We have an incredible capacity of accessing spiritual things wrongly. One of the greatest weaknesses, according to John Piper, more today than probably ever, is that we do not meditate on great things. We do not stop and ponder the things of God. Now let's learn from Isaiah's indictment of the generation of Jesus. Consider, ponder, muse, meditate, reflect, study, contemplate the great things of God. But you want to know something? Jesus died for you. Do you hear that? Jesus died. Not everybody in the world. He died for me. You get all that out. Because he's my Savior. The good thing is, he can be your Savior. Because he loves you that much. He's the only person ever lived. Thank you. He left us in order to go back. Conquering the grave. Being the first fruit, so when resurrection happens, I can know that I will be resurrected with Jesus. He's with us from the clouds. There's going to be a sound of the trumpet. And all of us dead people in the ground. And all of us alive people who knew that Jesus are going to rise to meet him in the air. And that's not a scary thing. It's going to be a wonderful behold. Have you ever flown by yourself? Without a plane? Pretty cool. You can be like a balloon full of helium. You can rise up to meet him in the air. He's going to embrace you. He's going to take you home. There's no more weeping, no crying, no pain, no suffering. No backbiting. No snide remarks. No issues. No more temptations, no more drugs and alcohol that will destroy our families and our kids. We want to be with Jesus. Understand me? As I go back, be ready for a very cold afternoon. I'm glad as a kid. But if you, like I said, if anybody wants to be baptized, just meet me on the stage. It will get you dried off and get something on. May you always a shepherd, but you can go home. Try. If you've not made the commitment, fully made the commitment to Jesus Christ, lay your life down. You can do that right where you're sitting or right where this morning in some moments of your praying. It's all things and studies, so I invite you all to come forward and recognize that that bread represents his body and that cup represents his blood. Just before you take it, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for covering my sin. Amen. Father, bless these elements. We know, Lord, this is a great news. We ask that our Lord represents the most holy sacrament in the Holy Bible, the Passover of our sin, because of the Paschal Lamb of His life, Jesus, your Son, our Savior. So come, Lord Jesus, bless these elements. Bless these kids as they get baptized, Lord, and also remember. Why don't you take communion and have some time of prayer? Please go back to your seats so that you can participate in the joy.